Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you news on a geekly basis. As always, it's your host, it's Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the rootinest tootinest co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
It's High Noon. Nah, it's me. It's Stephanie. I'm also your host. I don't know about rootinest or tootinest, but I'm here.
You never heard those before?
I know. I've heard those before. Oh, I know what a cowboy is.
Hey, look, it's 2019. Cowboys haven't been around for like 4 years.
Jesse McCree is around now and in 2070. So cowboys must exist, unless he's like the cowboy version of like a steampunk cosplayer.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure that's what he is. <There's>, I can't imagine how you'd be a cowboy when there's no need to like herd cows, and like that wasn't.
Who's saying that there's no need to herd cows in 2070?
I mean, what are they going to use? Like, they have hover stuff. They're going to have like a hover wagon.
Are you saying that they're going to make robots herd the cows?
They definitely will do that.
That's even more inhumane to the poor cows than we already are.
No, the Omnics are a nice group.
Oh, if they're Omnics, if they're sentient, that's one thing.
Well, yeah, they're not gonna have Bastion units do it. That wouldn't be the worst thing. Bastion units are great with birds. So I mean, like, how different are cows and birds? Birds are basically dinosaurs, and dinosaurs are just giant cows. How you doing today, listeners?
Hi, everyone.
How you doing, Steph? How's your day today?
Not bad, actually. It's been, except for the fact that it is disgustingly rainy in New York, not bad. I'm, like, of a camp where it's, like, I'd rather it be warm than cold, but if it's going to precipitate, I'd rather it be snow than rain. If it's going to be, like, a little bit cold, I'd rather it's cold enough that it snows, than because it's less of an pain in the ass, because I walk a lot of places, so it's less of a pain in the ass to walk through snow than it is to walk through rain.
Yeah, I think that's a fact in, like, inner cities and, like, New York, maybe since there's so much driving traffic, the roads can't get too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But out here in Pittsburgh, it's, like, it's just a complete shit show. Like, if it snows an inch, and they act like the news didn't tell us, we're gonna have problems, and people are gonna crash.
People are, like, predicting, like, negative 60 degrees in the Midwest this Thursday. I've been seeing events canceled on our Thursday for 18 degree weather. Because we're not, like prepared 18, for that kind like, of cold. 18 positive. Oh, 18 geez. Fahrenheit.
Before wind chill or after wind chill?
That's before wind chill, but, like...
Yeah.
New York City creates such a, like, vortex, like, a heat vortex just from, like, 9 million people and all of the associated heat that, like, it just takes more to make it snow and stick and be cold here.
That makes sense. I saw a cloud over the city one of the times I came up to New York where you're at. I was driving down one of the highways and I just saw a cloud above the city. Not rain, but, like, a cloud, and it was very bizarre and appropriate.
Yeah, it's just like a big ol' climate unto itself. How about you? How was your day?
Yeah, it's a day. Nothing too good, nothing too bad. Put in an application for an apartment. Nothing crazy. Just
nice. Congrats.
Yeah. Let's hope it goes through. Hey, listeners. Well, we want some feedback if you could help us out before we get started today. How did you like our previous episode that came out, A Universal Reveal?
Steven Universe spoiler cast.
Yeah,
let us know how you like that.
Yeah, let us know if you like that, how you like the format. Is our first time doing something like that. We want to know if you'd like to hear us do more recaps of things, deeper dives, deeper than that even, more analytical things, you know. It's still a free-form discussion, but a more focused topic, as it were. And tell us how you like just spoilers, or if you have any hot takes from that. We'd love to hear them. But we're always looking for different kind of formats and different ways to bring content while we're working on getting more guests for the character reveals. So,
yeah.
Let us know what you think. It's a slow news week, I'd say.
It really is.
I feel like the game releases just started and everything stopped. Like, the Oscar noms came out, and then
and like all Oscar discourse happened within like a day and then stopped.
Yeah, well, that's because Resident Evil 2 came out, the remake.
Oh, is that why all the Oscars discourse stopped?
Well, I mean, you have to think about it. Like, where does a lot of sexism come from and racism? Gaming.
Gamers?
And if a big game comes out, you could just take some of that out of the discourse. And it'll still happen.
But is the Academy?
Is the Academy what? Gamers?
Like, gamers?
No, the Academy, they don't participate in the discourse. They just put the stuff out and go back into their hidey holes. Like, they don't have to deal with the discourse. They might see it, like, on a report on Monday, but they're not going to, like... They're going to be eating caviar and, like, you know, wearing red baseball caps and stuff over the weekend. Who knows what's going to happen. But no, yeah, Resident Evil 2 came out. I haven't played it. I've heard a lot of good things about Resident Evil, you know? I know a lot of people like it. I know a lot of people have been waiting for this one to come out, so exciting stuff. But I think the big release was people getting hyped up for Kingdom Hearts 3, honestly. It's finally out. I held a copy of it yesterday. It's finally out.
I haven't held a copy, but I've seen multiple pictures of copies. I know four people in real life who took time off of work to play this game.
Yeah, that's a thing that happened, and I totally get it.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming, even if you've been playing the intercools. When people say we wait 13 years for this game, we kind of have, but we haven't waited 13 years for more Kingdom Hearts. We've just waited 13 years for
3. Yeah, there's been Kingdom Hearts in the meantime. So we've decided that Kingdom Hearts is just the Homestuck of video games and vice versa.
Yeah, I've actually seen that take like a few different times online. It's very, I think it's a common and intelligent take.
Like, it's just like, so it started out with like one or like a few simple things, then it became more complicated, then it introduced like characters from previous generations and characters who are different versions of the characters you already knew, and like as the game went on, they kept adding more and more, like, subdivisions. Like, it started out with just Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. Then, like, you get to, like, Act 6.6.5. Like, and then finally, after so many years of waiting, Act 7 comes. And it's finally over.
That's perfect. And, you know, it's one of those things that people are very passionate about that gets a lot of flack from other places, you know?
Yeah, and trying to explain it to anyone makes you sound insane.
If I'm going to keep it real quick, the little bit of explaining I've heard about Homestuck has made more sense. Like, it's been easier to follow other than that there's so many characters, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the hardest part to hear Homestuck is none of the concepts seem that difficult. It's more of like, well, there's this person, this person, this person. Like, okay. And then there's all, like, the Zodiac sign ones. You're like, okay, that's 12 more people that have to balance in. Like, okay, but there's this other thing. I'm like, I have to read it. Kingdom Hearts, you say, okay, so there's Sora, right? We have to explain the story so we can go backwards in time and tell you why this matters, because if I tell you it now, it's not going to make sense. And then this person's a Heartless to that person, but the only reason Heartless exists is because of this. And you're like, well, this is hard to follow, and you've mentioned the same character four times, but it's not actually ever the same character.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, that didn't make sense in the first one anyway, so it's not like...
Yeah, and for what it's worth, there's also a translation barrier to... Kingdom Hearts that there isn't in Homestuck. I don't know if that ties into it at all, but like it's a game that originally is in Japanese.
Yeah, so not from what I understand. I don't think that's the problem.
It's just a
because it's not like there's fucking... it's not like there's you, it, it's not like the it's not like it's ever incomprehensible what they're saying. I don't think these are hard sentences to translate the meaning of them. There's never any difficult concepts that are native to real life, you know what I mean?
Shit just doesn't make sense.
It just doesn't make sense in general. Like, the hardest part would be, like, there's not a word for it in another language, so we had to invent one or just use the Japanese or English word for it. But when you start to talk about, like, well, this was Riku controlled by Ansem, who's actually somebody else, like, there's no way to translate that incorrectly. Like, these were just people possessing other people who were shadows of each other. It's like, yo, this shit doesn't make any sense. And I love it. I've only played 1 and 2, and I loved it. I love all the nonsense around it. I love the mashup of, like, all this Disney and Final Fantasy stuff that's completely inconsequential, and it doesn't matter, actually, at all. that's not why any of this is tricky or even that. I like the combat system, so I'm happy that people are going to get to play it, and we're going to see tons of cosplay of it.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So wait, I have... The only, and this is a very slight spoiler, so maybe skip ahead, like, 2 minutes if you're, like, if, I feel like the people who are dedicated enough to care about the spoiler for the first opening screen of Kingdom Hearts 3 are going to be listening to this after we post it. But
yeah, this post is we're recording this on the 29th, honestly, like pulling back the curtain, we're recording on the 29th and it's not coming out till the 4th, so
yeah, so presumably you're gonna this will be out on the internet by then. But so my brother is playing it and live tweeting me various updates about it, and guess what this fucking game opens with?
Oh, I know, tell the listeners.
You plug it in, you open the game, you start it, and what comes up? Kingdom Hearts 2.9.
It's the best thing they could possibly do.
They totally fucking dunked. Like, I just, the freaking, like, idea of...
Like, why not? Why not at this point, though, you know?
Yeah. Like, and, like, after, he said it took him a couple, like, maybe, like, an hour or two, like, because he had to go to class between, but, like... To get to three, but, like, and, like, it's not as obnoxious as, like, Kingdom Hearts 2, where you have to do your summer homework for 2 hours before you can play the game.
That was not fun, like, and apparently it wasn't any better if you had played Chain of Memories, like, you would just know who these people are. It's not like there was that much more context to it. It was just ill-advised. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone told me that the game has recaps in it, and I don't know if that's what that part is or if it just comes separate, but he's like, they have recaps of every game, but they just skip over Kingdom Hearts 2. And I don't know why. I'm like, I don't think anything of note really happened. Like, I don't remember playing Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Like, I remember playing them. I don't remember anything from them. I know you go into a computer to do Tron, and I know you go see, like, Jack Sparrow. I don't know why you're doing any of this stuff. Like, it's a blur to me. It doesn't make any sense. But it was so fun. Swinging the key around.
I also did receive a Snapchat of him, playing and Sora being controlled by Remy from Ratatouille, holding on to two spikes of his hair.
Oh, that may have been in like trailers and stuff.
Yeah. So.
Oh hey, I think something happened actually tonight. Am I correct about this? I believe that Smash updated tonight.
Did it? I have been playing Crash for a while. I don't know.
I think it did. Someone has a screenshot of a piranha plant being there.
Yay, my piranha plant will be there.
That might be true.
Cool, I'm gonna have to plug that in once I'm...
Yeah, let's see what's in there. But yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 is out. No spoilers for that from us. We don't know any spoilers anyway, so anything I tell you between now and, I don't know, 2 months from now is completely conjecture, and if any of it's right, that's complete happenstance. I am a little bit annoyed with all of, like, the, hey guys, check out my sweet video about how the lore of Kingdom Hearts doesn't make any sense. It's like, yo, bro, like, I get it, like.
Yeah, it's like, buddy, like, let us have a good time.
Like, just do the review. Like, if you want to talk about how it was nonsense, there was so much time, and I totally understand that as a video creator, you gotta do something very zeitgeisty. I'm not mad at people for making Kingdom Hearts content, but it feels like I'm gonna explain Kingdom Hearts lore, but, like, the joke is how hard it is to explain and how bad it is, like. That joke is, like, 2 years too late, and, like, I don't know. I never, ever say cringy, but, like, the idea that people do is, like, come on, man. Like, it sounds like you're trying to shit on the hot new thing.
Yeah, it's just, like...
But it's not Jackasses doing it either, though. Excuse me?
Is this, like, just, like, do you hate fun?
Well, that's the thing. These seem to be people who quite enjoy Kingdom Hearts, and it's kind of like... When people that like the Sonic franchise want to shit on it, like, to look cool to everybody, but, like, they go home and still go play it kind of thing.
Yeah, is it like the Homestucks hate Homestuck more than anyone else, but they still love it kind of thing, maybe?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but without the understanding that they do love it. Like, that they'll tell you that, but that's not what the video communicates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, but that's just something that happens. That's just me being grumpy and old. And seeing this cycle happen many times.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming from a Sonic fan who just, I'm tired of the franchise getting dunked on. Because it's proven by now that it's like, people are like, Sonic was never good. I'm like, that's not true. Like, you may have never liked it, but people that were around when the game came out will tell you that, not Sonic 1 necessarily. I still maintain that Sonic 1 and Mario 1 aren't that great of games, but they were very pivotal to what came after. But people are like, oh yeah, Sonic 2 was never good, Sonic 3 wasn't good. Like, that's I don't think that that's a fair argument. Like, again, I'll give you the you didn't like it, but to say that they were bad games, I'm like,
were they though?
Bad is a little far, you know. And then Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 are like, yeah, these are bad in retrospect. By the time, everyone's minds were blown. Like, let's not act like they weren't good, like, pretty all right at the time. They were, but they are bad. Like, you go back and play them, they're pretty busted. They're a lot of fun, and they're very formative for people. And then Sonic 06 is the one that's like, yeah, that's actually a bad game. It's broken. It's not finished. Like, you know that. And then people are like, and that was the last game they ever made. I'm like, there's games literally after that that reviewers and fans like give like sevens and stuff like that. So, and then people said Sonic Colors was pretty good, and then Generations was a masterpiece. Like, what are you actually talking about? Like, you're just talking shit to do it because it's not a franchise you like.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mania came out, and critics were like, this is awesome. This is really good. People are like, no, it's not that good. I'm like, okay, like, you don't like it. That's fine. You're allowed to not like things, but saying it's bad feels off. I don't know. I figured out why people get so bent out of shape about review scores that we think are good, but they think are bad. It's the problem with the 10-point scale. There's two ways to look at 10-point scales. There's the mathematic approach, and then there's the letter approach.
Like, yeah, like, grade approach?
Yeah, because if I'm like, man, this game's a 7, people are like, this game's not average. I'm like, no, I'm using a 10-point scale, not a percentage point scale, because yeah, 70% would be average.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I'm like, 5 out of 10 is average. Like, I didn't love it, I didn't hate it. That's a 3 out of 5 is a 5, basically.
Yeah.
And I for some reason, I hadn't been considering that people were using a grade average. I think that's a shitty review scale. I want to do like a discussion on this, but I don't like a scale that puts so much emphasis on things that are failures, you know? Like,
yeah, that's like, what, like, 60% of the options are a failure? If you go to a grade scale?
Yeah, technically, kind if you of? Count 0, yeah. But, no, like, up until 6, 6 is a D, and people are like, yeah, this is bad, but it's not a failure. I'm like, so what's the functional difference between a 3 and a 4 and a 5? Like, if I got an F, if I get a test back and it's anything between 1 and 15, well, actually, no, I super care because I have to do cumulative, but if I only take one test the whole year, there's no difference between a 0 and a 59. That's an F. So it doesn't matter. I don't think that's a very in-depth scale. That's just me, though. I want to do a discussion about it one day.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like, the scale on Goodreads for rating books is just it's like 1 through 5 stars. And it seems just very blunt to me. Because, like, if you feel any sort of nuance about the book, you have to, like, comment and say, I really meant 3.5 stars, like, or something like that. Like, there's just, like, not much room for complicated feelings. And so, like, I'll go back and forth, like, is this a 5-star book? Is this a 4-star book? Like, some books I'll, like, and then, like, I get petty, and, like, some books that I, like, absolutely hate, I'll finish readings, because I don't feel justified giving a book a rating until I've finished it.
that's fair.
But I'll hate finish it, so that I can give it a 1.
if it deserves that, it deserves it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like the 5-star scale, just because it takes so much nuance out of it.
You like it, you like the lack of nuance?
Yeah, for discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I were to have to do reviews professionally, I'd use a 5-star scale, because no one's coming at your 2.5 and saying, like, they can't misjudge it, you know what I mean? But, like, with the 10, people can either say, that's a 70, that's a C, or, wow, that's a 70, that's 2 above average, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I write stuff, I like to be able to say 8, because that's a 4 out of 5, but not quite a 5 out of 5.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, if you do a 9, say it's 4.5, like, that feels pointless to me. But again, yeah. The 5-star scale really clears it up for a lot of people. So if I had to do this professionally, I would probably use that, or, like, a grade. Like, just use A through F. Because people seem to be able to understand that a little better without having to explain it, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's the discourse portion of the cast. What about this next thing? Any other Kingdom Hearts 3 takes or con takes or anything like that?
Con takes, Kingdom Hearts 3 takes. I mean, I'm still, like, kind of in disbelief. I feel like it's the end of an era. Like, can no longer make jokes about Kingdom Hearts 3 never coming again. Like,
someone pointed out that we're on the precipice of Metroid Prime 3 taking longer to get a sequel than Kingdom Hearts 2 did. I mean, because we've had other M, so we have so we have had other Metroid games, but we don't have a Metroid Prime 4, and they're making Metroid Prime 4. And they just, that's news. They were making it, and then Nintendo came out and said, hey, we're scrapping this. It's not going to be, like, we're not doing this. We're going to start again. We're making it. It's still coming out, but we're changing production all over. Like, so anything that was there, it's gone now. We're starting over. Like, they were changing some stuff. And a lot of people were like, man, this really sucks, but I'm glad they were upfront about it. Like, I hope we still get it one day, but I'm so glad they just came out and told us, hey, dog, wasn't working. We're going to try again. So that we're not wondering, like, at the end of the year, where's Metroid Prime 4? Or, like, why do we have this shitty game? It's just like, okay. And a lot of people respected that. I think it's nice to come out and say, hey, this project's not working. We're not going to rush it out. We're not going to do crunch. We're not going to put out a bad game. It's just not coming out right now. So, we're sorry. People are like, okay. It's, you know, that sucks, but thanks.
Yeah. It's like, cool.
So, now some teasers, right?
Yeah.
Teaser. Simple teaser. One teaser.
Teaser.
So, we'll talk about this real quick?
Yeah. So, so the Birds of Prey teaser came out. I didn't know that... So, like, of all these things, didn't know that that was a confirmed thing that was happening, first of all. Second of all, the... teaser, it was like one of those teasers for a trailer. It wasn't like a teaser trailer. It was like a teaser teasing a trailer.
That's all a teaser is, right? Like, it's like not actual content. It's just like, hey, y'all, we have concepts.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, like, I feel like it used to be that, like, a teaser trailer was, like, maybe a minute and a half, but, like, still kind of a trailer, and then, like, a trailer was a little, was, like,
oh, yeah, two to four minutes.
Like,
a teaser trailer would actually have shots from the movie kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like
This is, like, 35 seconds.
Of just, like, characters.
Yeah, of just characters, and, like, I actually had to go on the Mary Sue and, like, look at the screen caps that people took of the characters who were in it besides Harley to know who was in it.
Yeah, it looked like a lot. What did you find at themarysue.com?
Well, aside from Harley, who is blessedly Joker-free in this movie,
That's part of the point, right? Like, it's part of the pitch?
I think so, yeah. And the, people have been of mixed feelings about the, flashy, like, fringy coat thing that she's wearing. I think it's kind of cool. Some of the other people in the trailer are, Black Canary, who's the blonde girl. She's got a microphone, which is kind of, she hasn't always been a performer as well as a crime fighter, so this is, like, kind of a mix of a couple things. Like, her, I don't know if it's in the New 52. Yes, it is. So in the New 52, she's a singer and a crime fighter, and also in Bombshells, she does both. But her, like, power is the canary cry, which is, like, an ultrasonic, like, screech kind of thing. As well as just, like, martial arts. So she's in it. And I think they have a person of color playing her. Not confirmed, but I think that's cool, especially because she's, like, classically, like, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed kind of character. They also had Huntress, who's being played by Ramona Flowers.
Yes.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, is playing Huntress, and who, I couldn't tell much about her outfit. Her classic outfit has a lot of purple in it. I know people were saying, like, I hope there's, maybe it's just how muted this trailer is, but I hope there's some more purple in her outfit once we see it full on. I did note that does have a crop top, which is classic Huntress. She has, like, a belly window in her outfit. It's one of those very, like, women's character designs things. But,
Like, you said the little belly diamond?
Yeah, so, like, it's, I think it's just an actual crop top in this trailer, as opposed to, like, a cutout on her stomach. But it's there. And then there is Cassandra Cain, who's apparently the Asian girl is in the trailer, with a broken arm, which I'm excited about tentatively. I don't know a lot about the Bat family. And I've seen some
family. It's such a funny concept to me.
I've seen some complaints about, like, Cassandra excised from that context because, apparently, like, she's at her best when she's kind of around the other, like, Bat people, like the Robins and whatnot, because there's, like, a lot of, like, great family dynamics and, like, humanization that happens there. But, it is cool to have another Asian hero on the screen. She is a Bat girl, I believe.
Okay.
But I don't know whether she will be Batgirl in this movie or another role if she has had that previously in the comics. There's some other people. I don't know who they are. I think Ewan McGregor's in this movie, but I think he was just in a suit in the trailer. So, like, I don't know. Here's a picture of Ewan McGregor looking good in a suit. The Birds of Prey are historically all female, so if he is, it, like, whoever the guys in the trailer are, like, are either, like, side characters or, like, presumably either side characters or villains or something else, so. Who knows what's coming next? Also, historically, Harley, I don't think, is in the Birds of Prey. It was, like, Oracle and Huntress and Black Canary and, like, Lady Nighthawk, I think, is a character. I don't know. But interested to see. There's, like, been some discourse about whether they were going to put Poison Ivy in this universe.
Have they?
They have not so far. I know I've seen fan casts of Rihanna on Twitter. Which would be awesome.
That would be.
But I have no confirmation. So.
But, anyway, apparently Piranha Plant is kind of out today. We might have to wait till Friday to actually play it, but it seems like some either have data mined him out to jump the release schedule, but he is physically... Well, it's not a... There shouldn't be any pronouns for the Piranha Plant. It should just be an it, I think. It's just a plant.
Yeah.
But it should be out soon, so that's kind of cool. I'm updating Switch as we speak. I'm watching the little bar under Smash Bros. Move very slowly because I'm far from my router. But Birds of Prey seems cool. It seems like DC EU is kind of picking up steam. It hasn't really moved yet, but it's picking up steam. People liked Aquaman. People liked Wonder Woman, so there's hope in this universe. Just as Wonder Woman and Aquaman weren't directed by Zack Snyder, right?
No.
Yeah, maybe it's just his particular vision doesn't work with what Warner Brothers is trying to do, you know? I'm not going to outright say his style wouldn't work. I don't like it, but I'm not going to say it wouldn't work, you know?
Yeah.
To get people in the seats, you know? And I'm not sure how much they care about the quality of people in the seats, and people are filling up the seats, so, like, people saw Sucker Punch.
Yeah, they're going to keep seeing it.
I wanted to like Sucker Punch so much. Like,
yeah, I really did. I remember watching it with our friend Sam, and she was like, oh, we should watch this movie, it's really cool. And after what I was like, this was a bad movie.
It is very cool.
I was like, aesthetically, it's very cool. Conceptually, it's interesting. But wow, this movie is really sexist and doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't make sense. And it's one of those things that would only happen if, like, you knew sexism was a thing and that it was bad, but you didn't know what it was. You know what I mean? Like, there's decisions in that movie that are, like, I look at some of the way, like, the ways the characters are sexualized doesn't seem to be in line with how it's typically done. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like, well, this is definitely not right, but it's not like anything I've seen before. You know, like, the way the Amazons were shot in Justice League seemed more like Mel Gazy than the way the women were shot in Sucker Punch. But the costumes and, like, the storyline made me think, like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. He's trying to, like, objectify women. Like, but how is he doing that? Like, I'm not sure. Like, these are weird decisions, and I'm not sure kind of how you did this. I think there was a stage where it must have just been, like, the action scenes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then someone was like, you can't just do the action scenes. You're going to, like, tie some of this together. And I liked the action scenes. They were pretty all right. Like, that's what I went to go see. I'm like, he's wearing schoolgirl outfits with, like, swords and they're fighting robots. Like, that's, how could this be bad? And you open in, like, this house, you're like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't why I bought this DVD. And I felt robbed. I own that movie. I've watched it once. That's the funny thing. Maybe twice. Zack Snyder. Definitely creative.
No denying he is creative.
And, you know, how about this last topic? This is all you, because I know nothing about this. I know it exists.
Yeah, so, so here we are. Rent Live was this week, and, like...
Hey, Piranha Plant is in the game. I got the little splash screen. It's nice. Physically there. Not to interrupt.
So, it's okay. So, the... It sure happened. It was a bit of a shit show from the beginning. Not necessarily because of the performances, but because they made a very awkward decision. And awkward in a way that is both just, like, problematic and bad planning and ableist a bit and some other things. So, they did a dress rehearsal, which they filmed.
That's a good start, right?
Yeah, the night before the Rent Live production was. The morning of Rent Live, the guy playing Roger, who's one of the main characters, broke his foot. So, on Sunday night, instead of performing the show live, they showed the pre-recorded dress rehearsal. Since Roger was not able to walk around and do the choreography and stuff. Although, this isn't, like, a dancing show. This is, like, a walking around in choreography show. Like, there's no, like, peppy dance numbers except for, like, one, and he's not in it. So, so the first issue is that, like, for one thing, you should always bring your whole performance to every rehearsal.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
But, and especially a dress rehearsal. But it seemed like a lot of the characters were singing like they were trying to save their voices for the next night, which led to a kind of a lackluster performance on some of the numbers, which was depressing. Because, that, like, pretty much all of the numbers in Rent, save, like, two or three, are pretty bombastic, like, loud rock numbers. And so that was, like, a bummer. I didn't love the voices on all of the people. Vanessa Hudgens really brought it.
I heard she everyone, too.
Yeah, like, everyone, I think when she was announced that she was going to be in it, thought she was going to be Mimi, who's, like, the, like, Latina, like, Spitfire kind of character. But, she actually played Maureen, who's, like, the problematic bisexual, that Idina Menzel played in the original cast, which is, like, a very, like, loud, brash, like, belty role, she was amazing. And, like, she doesn't show up until almost the end of the first act, so, like, it takes a while for us to get to her, to be like, oh, what's gonna happen? And then she comes out and does this really ridiculous, like, performance art number, that involves just, like, a lot of, like, weird breath stuff and, like, yelling and rhyme and kind of rapping and doing stuff without breathing very often that, like, she totally killed it on. I was worried especially about the, like, censorship issue, like, the, like, TV censors, because Rent is a play that has a lot of, not just a lot of swearing in it, but a lot of adult concepts. There's literally a scene where, that it, or, like, a song that is just three couples having sex, and, like, the aftermath thereof. Like,
it's just, that might, like, have then, some censor issues, if I were to guess.
You would think, but, and, like, it's a bad song, so I don't know what the, I don't actually know all the words to, so, like, I actually put my headphones in, kept listening to Bim Bam over that part, because I didn't care to listen. And also, one, like, Angel dies at the end of that scene, which is very sad, and I didn't want to watch that either.
Fair enough reason to skip.
So, and it took me and my roommate a minute to realize, like I have not listened to Rent. I could probably guarantee you I've not listened to the full soundtrack, save, like, maybe, like, a song or two popping up on one of, like, our road trip playlists in, like, 10 years. But somehow I still know all those words. Youth Stephanie is, like, teen Stephanie is alive and well and in there somewhere. But it took me and my roommate a while to realize, we were like, oh, you know, I don't think they've changed many words yet. And then we were like, wait, we've been singing along this whole time, so we have no way to tell if they've changed any words, because we were saying the right words and couldn't hear whether they said a wrong word. But, like, overall, it wasn't that egregious, surprisingly. Like, there's a verse in La Vie Boheme, which is the big finale of Act 1, that's like that drops the word dildos, and then ends in mucho masturbation, and they only changed one of those things. They changed dildos to latex, which is still, like, fairly suggestive,
but it's implicit.
But it's more implicit, and so we were, like, me and my roommate both, like, jaws dropped and stared at each other when they actually let Mark say mucho masturbation. So, I mean, like, they definitely, I feel like it was a better adaptation of the source material than Rocky Horror Live was.
That feels, understandable.
And, like, in fairness, like, Rocky Horror is a sex comedy. Like, it's not something, it doesn't have, like, a serious plot. Like, there's not really a story there so much as, like, a series of events that, like, are, like, that forcibly happen in order to get from, like, goofy song to goofy song. So, like, Rent is about being a starving artist during the AIDS crisis. Like,
yeah, you can make that story work without, like, any lewd,
without necessary, yeah.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, if you take all the sex out, you kind of just have, like, an alien invasion and a bad marriage, like.
Yeah, exactly. So, censorship issues wasn't as concerning as I thought it was going to be. My biggest issue with it was just the performance, like, not just that the performances were, some of them were more subdued than they needed to be, but I felt like there was just some miscasting going on. The guy who played Collins, who's Angel's boyfriend, and who has this, like, heartbreaking number in Act 2 after Angel dies, the role is for a bass. Jesse L. Martin famously created the role. Our good guy from Law and Order and The Flash. And he has a gorgeous bass singing voice, and, like, so in the first act there's a song called I'll Cover You, which is after Angel and Collins meet, they're, like, singing to each other about, like, how they're going to be together forever and, like, how much they love each other and, like, committing to each other. And then in the second act, after Angel dies of AIDS, he sings a reprise of this song at his funeral.
You said?
Yeah, Angel's a drag queen.
No, I was just making sure. I didn't know if there was, like, I don't know this musical, so I didn't know if there was, like, an overture or something. Like, I didn't know if someone was singing at their own funeral.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was Colin singing it at Angel's funeral. He sings, gotcha. Like, this very, like, heartbreaking, slow, soulful reprise of I'll Cover You.
Okay.
With, like, the funeral attendees singing, like, chiming in with Angel's part in, like, a kind of, like, gospel-y, like, very beautiful way. And, but, like, it starts out, like, deep bass, like, live in my house, I'll be your shelter. Like, I can't even hit the notes because I'm, like, in an alto, like, voice because I am such a high singer. But, so they cast the same guy who had played Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar, Brandon Victor Dixon, to play Collins. And the Judas role is, like, a tenor role. Like, it's a lot of, like, very, like, high vocalizing and, like, riffing and stuff that he was, from what I understand, very good at in Jesus Christ Superstar. But Collins is a bass. And this is the first time I have ever not cried at I'll Cover You. Like, hearing it out of context, like, on the street makes me cry. But, like, this, I was just like, I'm not impressed. And, like, and part of what makes it so striking is that he doesn't, in the, he is, like, kind of, like, the gospel soloist in the bunch, like, where there's, like, the group backing them up, and then he's doing, like, more of, like, the riffing and stuff, but it's not super riffing, it's just kind of, like, he's singing the melody, and then there's people backing him up, and, like, it just felt like he was doing too much by the end of it, that it was, like, I'm not buying your grief, because it was just, like, a lot of, like, showmanship kind of stuff. I don't know. I was disappointed in that aspect of it. So, like, there's all that, and I mentioned ableism, which comes back to the fact that, they would rather show, they still performed Rent live to the live audience in the studio, but with Roger in a wheelchair. Which means that they could have broadcast that to us, and we just would have had Roger in a wheelchair. They could have just said at the beginning of the thing, the guy playing Roger broke his foot this morning, so his scenes, he'll be in a wheelchair. But instead they felt that they would, they made the decision to show the pre-recorded one rather than let us see Roger in a wheelchair, which is just, like, a little
That's yucky. Too bad and an odd choice. Like, hey, here's this inferior product for this bad reason.
Yeah, and, so it's just, like, that was icky, and, like, the other absolutely, like, buck wild thing to me, and, like, just poor planning all around, is
that... You have been listening to my Bam Bam.
Is that they didn't have any understudies.
Yeah, that's also... that's
wild to me. This is the freaking, like, the biggest platform musical theater has ever had in this country?
That,
like, live musical theater has ever had, and there aren't understudies? Like, especially if it's not, like, celebrity, I don't know, like, I don't remember what it's called, like, stunt casting. Like, it's not, like, one of the, draws to Jesus Christ Superstar was that John Legend was Jesus. Like, if John Legend is sick, it's going to be disappointing if someone else fills in for him. I couldn't tell you what the guy playing Roger's name was. He was very talented, but, like, he wasn't, like, an A-list celebrity that...
That's the base line, is that you're very talented.
Yeah, it's, like, the... Like, it's not, like... Like, Lin-Manuel Miranda couldn't make it that night, or, like, Lin broke his foot. Like, why don't you have fucking understudies? Broadway people have... Lin has an understudy. Like, if he has a sore throat, someone else goes on as Hamilton. Like...
Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to be upset about it, but you would understand.
Yeah, like, the audience won't be happy about it, but they'll understand. Like... So that just seems like a just a bad decision, all told, just very bad planning on that part. And there's, I mean, like, they have, like, some up, like, multi-level staging, like, the set design was, like, there were some, like, stairs and different, like, platforms and stuff, but, like, just use the guy in the wheelchair. Like, that's just, like, an implicit message that, like, we'd rather show you a worse performance than show you someone in a wheelchair who can't dance like the rest of the people can. And it's not even a dancing show. If this were 42nd Street, where, like, they tap dance every single number, it would be one thing. But the only person who dances in the entire show is Angel in one song. Like,
yeah, there wasn't any reason to do that.
Yeah. And, like, on that note, Valentina, the drag queen they had playing Angel, can't sing.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes that happens.
He was, like, hoarse by the end of the one song that is Angel's solo song and entrance song, which was really a bummer. But the one cool thing they did have is that there were other cool things. There were some cool things, but, like, the guy they had playing Mark was really good. I don't know, there, and, like, it was engaging to see the Rent discourse on Twitter.
Golly.
Because like, Rent at its core is a show not about, like, first of all, it's a show that came out in the early 90s, and it's kind of like one of those things where, I don't know if we talked about this in a different podcast, but it was like, or if I talked about this to someone else, I think it was someone else. But anyway, Rent is one of those things where it ran at its time, but now it feels hokey and, like, kind of trite. Like, at its in its time, it was revolutionary. It was showing people of color living with AIDS in a story that wasn't necessarily tragic. And, like, having, like, romances and living complicated lives in the early 90s when it came out. And one of the things that I realized that I just learned recently that I guess it makes sense in retrospect is that, so, the writer Jonathan Larson had Marfan syndrome, which is a heart condition, and he died, like, hours before the first performance.
Oh, wow.
Which is really tragic.
Yeah.
But it also meant that he never had any time to workshop the performance. Like, when a show opens on Broadway, like, it'll probably open off-Broadway first and, like, have, like, preview run. Like, Hamilton was at the Public for, like, a year, and they will cut numbers that don't work and change lines and, like, move things around. And this never had that, so it's kind of like a snapshot in time of, like, the rough draft of a musical from 1994.
So there's things that may have been tweaked if it was, like, had the time to be tweaked.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, it could have probably been more polished at the time, but, and it's, like, in the same way that people have, like, valid criticisms of Hamilton. Like, is Hamilton the most revolutionary thing currently on Broadway? Yes. Like, it puts people of color in a narrative where they were not previously. But at the same time, like, it also is still, like, lionizing people who were slaveholders and, like, changing the historical narrative to fit a fictional narrative, like with Angelica, and, like, queer, like, be, like, participating in possibly queer erasure and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, they're valid critiques, but, like, it will be great to see what Broadway looks like in another 20 years when Hamilton is considered as trite as Rent.
Yeah, like, that's true. I think the thing about it is that it's trite now. Like, it's sort of the reason it's revolutionary is because of who the cast is. That's really what it is. Like, it's well,
it's revolutionary to, like, older white people. Yeah, like the Broadway.
Yeah, because isn't there, like, some other, like, Founding Fathers musical around at the same time that came out?
There's a musical called 1776 that's very old. It's like, okay, there was a movie of it in, like, the late 90s, but it's, like, much more, like, classically musical, like.
Right. So my whole thing is, you know, if you replaced all the people of color in Hamilton with white people and made, like, a lot of other Broadway plays, Like, yeah, they're rapping. It's pretty cool, but like, cool. Like, I guess, like, big deal. Like, that's, I don't think it would. I mean, it's, again, it's very well done, and the message, like, the style lands a little bit better because of who's delivering it. But yeah, I don't think this will be subject to age as poorly. Well, I mean, I'll never know, but I don't think it has
I
the
mean,
same.
hopefully you will live long enough to know whether it ages poorly or
I
not.
mean, I don't, yeah, I can't tell right now. I can't predict that, but I don't think that has much to age other than the, oh man, maybe we should have went a little better on saying that George Washington had slaves. But we're making this critique now, so like, I'm curious as to what critique may pop out, you know.
So like, and like one of the like big critiques of Rent is that like looking at it from like when you're a teenager, like you're like, yeah, look at these badasses, like they're sticking it to the man, like they're standing up for the people, like they refuse to pay their rent because their landlord's an asshole. But like looking at it from a 30-year-old point of view, my roommate posted a link on Facebook the other day, and we can maybe put it in the show notes because it says it better than I can, but it's just like the discourse that like millennial, like middle millennial Rent fans have with themselves every time they think about the show, because it's like this show is like so exciting and rebellious and stuff, and then you're like, the central plot of the show is that they refuse to pay their rent to their black landlord, who's also their friend, because he once said that they could live there rent free, and so they won't pay him, and like also he and so he says like, look, this land is like this property is getting more expensive. We're trying, and like he's also like the gentrifier, like the yuppie gentrifier in this story, which is problematic. But he's like, look, if you keep your friend from doing her protest performance art tomorrow night, and just let us like start development on our like creative art space without trouble, I will let you live here rent free, period. So that's a loft apartment in the village in Manhattan. I would pay probably $3,000 a month to live there
And they can't
in the
do it,
modern
right?
day. And they refuse to do it because, like, because Benny's the man.
But I mean, it's even worse because they have the money too, right? Like,
Like, well, they
well,
don't
one
have the money, but, like,
doesn't
also, like,
the one guy I thought had money, the main dude.
Mark probably has money. Like, his parents are from, like Westchester, and like he's like from a fairly wealthy Jewish family. He's just kind of like slumming
Okay.
it for like creative purposes.
Yeah, like he doesn't
Like
need to
if
be
he
doing
asked
this
for
either,
help,
like. Yeah,
like if he asked for help, his parents would probably give it to him, but like and he's like the straight white narrative, like voice of the narrative, which is like also a little problematic. But like not only is Benny gonna let them stay there rent free, he's also gonna let them use his creative art space to realize their dreams, because Roger wants to write a hit song, and Mark wants to be a movie maker, like a director. So like, do this one thing for me, you guys. Like,
And you'll be
and
good
like,
to
but he's
go.
the yeah, but he's like Benny's the villain of the story consistently. So it's like, God damn, do you know like there's like the like I'll do what I have to do for the team like fire festival guy who was gonna like suck a dick for some Evian water.
Yeah, I didn't even
Do
see
you
the
know
Netflix
what I
one.
would
I saw
do?
the Hulu one.
Do you know what I would do to live rent free in a Manhattan apartment?
I
Like
would not throw a show, at least.
up to like up to and including kill a person? Like
Wouldn't be worth it, but if you do kill somebody, you will live pretty free, I heard. That's
so like
a jail.
haha. But yeah, so it's a problematic show no matter what, but I mean, it was fun to watch it. It was fun to remember how many of the words I know. There are a lot of really great songs in it, even if the story hasn't aged well. And like another person pointed out, like validly, like like, in another way it was revolutionary is, like, one of the main love stories is between two heterosexual people with AIDS at a time when that was still considered a gay disease. So, like, this was, at its time, like, a revolutionary thing for representation. And, like, someone pointed out, like, this is being streamed on, like, basic cable. This is being broadcast, like, on basic cable to, communities across the country. Like,
this still might actually be pretty revolutionary. Like,
yeah, like, there are places where this is still revolutionary. So, like, it is cool that they did it. I just, like, most of my issues with it are pretty, like, nitpicky performance issues, so more than, and, like, issues with the story itself that they couldn't have done anything about. So.
That's fair.
So Rent Live, it was kind of a fiasco, but not the worst.
Hey, it is what it is.
That's it. Yeah.
Good old Rent. It's a fiasco that keeps on giving. Anything else? I think it's been a nice long one.
It has. It was just me talking about Rent for the last hour.
Nothing wrong with that. People want to hear it.
Hope you enjoyed it. And if you're out there, listeners, and you hear this, and you feel like you want to tweet something at us, tweet at me and tell me to stop making political posts on Facebook. I'm really just asking for trouble.
Hey, if you want to tweet at us, it's real easy. You can find the podcast at CharacterRev. That's two R's in the middle. Or on Facebook, search Character Reveal. Or Instagram, also Character Reveal. Or CharacterReveal.simplecast.fm if you want to hear the podcast. Go to Google Play. Or iTunes, or Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Find me, Dom, anywhere on the internet, at Brother Dom. Real simple, anywhere I want to be found, you can find me there. And Steph, you can find her a few places as well. You can go on Twitter. How would you do that?
It's Captain Steph.
What about Instagram?
Hella Steph.
What about Tumblr?
The Snow Queer. I'm just starting to try to fill up my queue again, so you might actually see a post or two if you go over there.
Q.
Q.
Yep. Other than that, hey, I think that's it. Thanks for listening, right?
Yeah, also, hey, if you have any questions or comments or, like, critiques that you don't want to put out there publicly, you can always email us at characterreveal@gmail.com. And if you do have some critiques or comments or compliments you would like to post publicly, you can always hit us up on iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. That would be awesome. Please do that.
Please do it. Please star. Please clap.
Please clap. And hey, iTunes got on that 5-star rating system, so you don't have to worry about whether it's above average or out of 100.
We know what it means. It means 5.
You know what it means? It means 5.
Hey, thanks so much, listeners, for another episode. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.